This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for listening, and please join us every Sunday for worship with us.
Jesus Christ has told us that he is coming again. Do you believe that? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. In this Advent season, Lord Jesus, our hearts are being prepared to meet you as the babe, the God incarnate, born in Bethlehem's manger. And so you lived here for 33 years. And now, O God, we live and ponder this great truth that you have expounded, that one day you will come again. Help us to lay hold of this glorious truth that you're coming again. But also cause us to realize that around this great teaching, there are many secrets that we will only know when we have seen you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ. St. Paul once wrote to the Corinthians, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." When I read these words that have come from the lips of the Apostle Paul, I really ponder them. This man who lived so closely to his Savior. This man who had had all of those rich experiences with Jesus as he went around the world, his little world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, says that there are many things that God has revealed to me that I do not fully understand. In other words, God has his secrets. Now, if Paul says this, who am I to think that I have all the answers to God's revelation? And I'm afraid that sometimes we come off that way. There are many things that we've got a right to be very dogmatic about, for they are clearly spoken in Scripture. But there are other things in the Bible that are secrets, and we can say to these things, this is the way I understand it, this is the way I feel about it, but this is still a secret that we will know only when God returns. What do we know? Well, just take three or four things for an example. We know that God is a creator. We know he created this wonderful world, and he put us in it as a crowning work of all that he had made. We know that we are created in his image. We know that we have a body, that we have a mind, that we have a will. We can make a decision. We are responsible people. And we know that we used that will and we sinned. We went contrary to the will of God. We know because he says so very, very clearly that those who do not have the forgiveness of their sins cannot stand in the presence of God, for God does not have anything to do with sin. But God did send into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection has atoned for our sins. He has died for all of them, and then he has said that if you will confess your sins and trust me, then you will be with me forever in the kingdom of heaven. Those are things that we know that we can be very specific about and very dogmatic, for we say them in faith. He is coming. He has come. He is our Savior. We also can say that he is coming again. That is a fact, and that's what our text says today. But around that time, there are sundry questions that are continually being asked, and we can only say, I have this feeling. I have this thought from my understanding of the Scripture. But there are secrets here that we'll have to wait to see the final answer. Our text is recorded in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning at the 36th verse, and if you have your Bibles opened, just follow with me in the reading. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let the house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What is the truth here? The truth is made very clear. This we can know. Jesus Christ is coming again. What about some of these other questions? Let's look at a couple of them. One is, when will he come? And the answer is given to us. That's my secret. Not even Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, knew. Not even the angels in heaven know. But God knows when that time will be. It is also true that we can become so immersed in when we think is coming that we will forget more important things for the present moment. It would never be so immersed in time that we forget eternity. Never let the worldly affairs completely distract us from remembering that there is a God, and the issues of life and death are in his hands. He will control them. We are also told here that there is a judgment. There is a separation, where Christ will come and gather those to himself who are his, and those who trust him as Savior and Lord are his, and the rest will go by themselves. Beyond all of these things, we cannot go, for God has kept the ultimate knowledge of himself. Now I know that I speak to brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who spend a great deal of time studying the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation and can expound exactly what's going to happen. I enjoy listening to them. I enjoy questioning them. I enjoy having their answer to how they interpret a vision, much like they interpret historical reporting. I will not deny a thing that they say. It may very well be true. But here, with my background, and coming from my Lutheran church, I am willing to say that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And that's enough. Only I must be ready. There are three responses to these works of Jesus. Oh, maybe there are more than that. But I'm going to use just three here this morning. The one is a denial, a harsh denial. That perhaps is the agnostic, the person who says, well, I don't know about these things. I'm not interested in them. I know that people believe this, and I want them to have that privilege, but not me. This is not a top priority when it comes to my life. Some others might say that, I just am not interested. I guess I do believe that Christ is coming again. I learned that in Sunday school. I know it's in my catechism, besides it's in the scriptures that you have just read. I go to church on Sunday morning, and I stand up, and with the congregation I confess my faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. But you know, that's kind of routine for me. I give it very little thought. I hear the sermon. And sometimes I hear that sermon dealing with Christ's return, where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I wonder what that's going to be like. And wonder we do, because it's a part of the secret. I used to try to make this clear to my children and my young people in confirmation classes and my own children. And I used an illustration that perhaps is pretty far out, but it got their attention anyway. I told them, can you imagine that day when a person like Adolf Hitler would have to bow his legs, his knees, and would have to confess in High German, "I believe now that Jesus is God." But once I didn't. I thought he was nothing. And while Hitler is saying that in the before the throne of God, Joe Stalin is saying, "Yes, I was baptized into the Christian faith, but I walked away, I rejected it, I denounced Jesus. And certainly I never believed that he would come again. That was a thing of the past. I had destroyed it. But now I bow before the Lord and I confess my sins." But then we have to remember that it isn't only internationally known people who have lived such wretched lives that will have to do the bowing. It is the average person like you and me. We will have to bow, and we can confess him as our Lord and Savior if that's the way that we have died. But if we died in our unbelief, belittled it, would have nothing to do with it, then we too shall confess what is wrong. Now, when you expound it in this way, it is obvious that if a person is not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus, he would simply say, "Well, it's interesting. It's almost laughable. But at least it's not for me." Now, there are others who will take a different position. And they'll say, when I think of this happening, I have to confess that I become afraid. Am I really ready? Is it enough just to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Am I then ready? Yes, you are, according to the Bible. We begin to run to Scripture sometimes when strange things happen and say, "Is this what the Bible means by this passage and this event in our culture today?" I recall back in 1948, I had just entered into the ministry, first Advent season, and I was preaching in this church on that Sunday morning on the second coming of Christ. I remember the illustration that I used. The Jews were returning to Israel. They were going back to the homeland from which they had been separated for a long time. Now it was theirs. Is this the fulfillment of prophecy? And does that mean that Jesus Christ is right around the corner? I had some thoughts about that. I wondered about that. And there are many other little things that have happened in life where I wonder, is that what's happening? When the evilness becomes so wretched that you think, how could people ever do these things? Do you not wonder, isn't the Lord going to come soon? So some sort of deny it, and some are afraid of what will happen. But here is what the Lord wants. He wants us to anticipate that day when he will come and we'll see him. We will see him face to face. We will know him as the one who has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. We will live in a society, if you can call it that, where there is no sin. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a day where there is no sickness? That's pretty hard. But you begin to anticipate. Now, I realize that perhaps is more true in old age than it is when we're young. We've got all of life ahead of us. But now when our bodies are beginning to wear out, and we've done about all the things that we care to do while we're here, isn't it something to anticipate another age, another future? Is it especially true when we're on death's bed? I have sat beside so many beds, and I have said to the person who knew well that he or she was dying, just think of it. Tomorrow at this time, you could be in the presence of Christ. Tomorrow in this time, you could be in an economy that knows no suffering and no death. That's possible. That's anticipation. It's anticipation for me. It's a highlight in the service. When the pastor says, let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins. Ah, yeah. And we confess. And we get down to this part that deals with our text today. And he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. And I think that around the world, in all kinds of languages, all kinds of backgrounds, and all kinds of circumstances, here stand men and women, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, confessing, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And he will bring me safely into his kingdom forever. What a marvelous, marvelous day that will really be. And that is ours to enjoy while we are here on this earth, anticipating what it will be like when we see him. It's a time for our souls to be prepared for Christmas. And we'll think again of the King, the baby, who came. He came to not only be born on a manger, but to grow and 33 years later to die for the sins of the world. That's a part of Christmas, just to know that it will be so different when he comes again. How marvelous it's going to be when we can sing, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. That's the Advent message. That's the message that we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ shall rejoice in this Advent season. Perhaps there are some of you who have been wondering, and you stayed with me through all of this, what is he talking about? Because you don't know the Christ. Wouldn't you like to know him? Wouldn't you like to have God give you the greatest gift he can give you? And if not at Christmas time, then after you've gone through the Christmas experience, say, I surrender. I surrender all. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. He is the King, the Lord of Lords. Praise God, he's coming for me. In your unbelief, turn and trust him. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, in the midst of all of our celebration in these days that are before us, grant, Holy Spirit, that our souls may be quieted. Give to us the discipline to draw aside and listen to these words that are found in our text today. Just be ready. Oh, there is so much, Father, that we need to hear you say. We cannot ready ourselves. We confess that it is only your Holy Spirit that can make us ready. But we thank you that you're anxious to do that, so that we may have truly a celebration where the God incarnate, Christ Jesus himself, lives in our hearts. Be with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. Comfort them that in Christ better days are ahead. In his name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. We hope today's message will fill you with the peace of the Lord during the coming week. Christian Crusaders is thankful to our faithful listeners and their decades of generous support through gifts and prayers. These offerings have allowed us to continue to expand our reach, broadcasting the gospel across the country on the radio and throughout the world over the internet. Because of you, thousands of listeners, many of whom are unable to get to church, have an opportunity to worship and hear the gospel message. If you would like to help support this mission, we at Christian Crusaders, and those of whom we serve, would be very grateful. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you know a neighbor, friend, or relative who would benefit from our program, please let them know about our service. You can also refer others to our website to find out more information about the ministry at christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday since 1936.